Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, we made it. This is the first full football season on In the Jar. We started the show January of this year, so we got to cover the back half of last football season, but this is the first in-season episode of In the Jar, and I have some bad news, okay? I showed up with one SD card for the audio, and we are sitting at about 38-39 minutes left, right? So we're going to try and blow through this thing. We're going to recap the college football games that happened a couple days ago, and then we're going to get into some of the upcoming games in the NFL. One of them starting tonight. I'm hoping we can get this out before Thursday night football. So I'm going to say tonight. If not, that's okay. But nonetheless, we'll get right to it. Viral moment of the week coming to you right now.
Because he's the best for the country. Because he's the best for the
country. Look at this weird guy. He's never lifted a weight in his life.
They call us weird.
Are you really going to hit me? Are you really going to hit me? You want to go to jail for assault? You look like,
what's wrong with the Democrats?
You look like Thomas Crooks. You look like Thomas Crooks. You're crazy. You better get out of here before you get your ass kicked.
Damn, dude. So the only reason I wanted to show that was because of this reply that I found in the thread. I mean, what did he think was gonna, like, I don't know. I don't want to make this political commentary, but the way the guy ran up to him was just a sight to see. And you just, somebody had the cognition to think of this guy running in football pursuit. I don't know, dude. Probably shouldn't show shit like this on the show, but you know, it's like we gotta be a little more stoic. You know what I'm saying? Disagreement's okay. It's okay to disagree with somebody. You know what I mean? Unless you want to chase down Nick Chubb for a 15-yard gain. You know what I'm saying? He actually looks a little bit farther back in that Photoshop there. All right, next deal. We got week one coming up. And the Eagles are playing the Packers in Brazil. There was a lot of talk about this in the offseason. The NFL is obviously trying to expand the game internationally to more countries, make football a big sport in other places. But there's a lot of concern in the offseason. A lot of concern with crime in Brazil. The teams, you'll hear in the clip, the teams that are playing, the Eagles and the Packers, were advised to not leave their hotel rooms. There was even talks, and I haven't heard much of this lately, but there's a lot of Brazilian gangs with the colors green and yellow And Darius Slay spoke on it on somebody's podcast.
Looking forward to it. I can't wait. But man, I do not want to go to Brazil. You want to know why? I'm here to tell you why. They already told us not to leave the hotel. They told us we can't do too much going on because the crime rate is crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, NFL, why don't y'all want to send us somewhere with the crime rate this high? And like, we got the country. So, you know, the first thing people think is like, something terrible can possibly happen. I told my family, do not come down there because like, I'm not going to be nowhere to be found. Really, I would be in a hotel chilling, minding my business.
None of my business. Big play, Slay, dude. Saying it how it is. I don't know if a player that wasn't a veteran of his stature would be able to candidly speak on that like he was. But, you know, they're not excited about it. I'm wondering if teams are going to arrive early to acclimate to the time change. I don't know what time zone Brazil is on. I do know that Brazil banned X recently, and there's a lot of politically charged comments around this game. Conservative pundits urging the NFL to pull the plug on this game, but it's not that easy. They probably spent months and months, maybe a year or two, putting into this game what they need to put in. I'm going to do something real fast here. But no, I mean, it's not that simple. You know, the NFL can't just say, well, the Brazil banned X and they hate free speech, so we're going to forego the year that we spent, you know, organizing this event and just pull the plug on the game. Maybe they could do that. Maybe they could just say Green Bay, have it at home. But the players aren't happy about it. Slay isn't happy about it, having the first NFL game in Brazil. I think for the most part, player sentiment with international games is relatively negative. They don't like the jet lag. They don't. There's a lot of uncertainty when traveling internationally, and I think that's portrayed in the clip there from Darius Slay. Okay. Next deal. So I saw a clip. This kid's what's this kid's name? Dylan Stewart. Okay. This kid is a true freshman for South Carolina in his first collegiate football game. Take a look at this kid's reps against Old Dominion. Pushing him right back, dude. Disrupting the hell out of the play. And then he almost gets home after getting off the block. This is scariest. Oh my God, dude. Imagine being a running back, that guy rumbling downhill. And it's, dude, here's the thing. That dude looks, he's young, right? He's a true freshman. I remember how much development I had to go as a player at 18 years old. This kid is raw. He looks lanky. But then you see him rolling downhill. I swear, man, sometimes it's the lanky guys that hit the hardest. Rolling downhill on that running back, trying to just pick up the blitz, you know what I'm saying? Just straight runs him over. This kid, Dylan Stewart, true freshman with University of South Carolina, is going to be a problem. And he might be a number one overall pick here in a couple years based on this game film. If he's able to keep this up, I understand it's against Old Dominion, right? But Dylan Stewart is a problem. And nobody had heard of this kid before this game. This came up on my Twitter feed, these reps. Run it back one more time. Look at that dip. Look how he's able to dip under. That's obviously the sack that he had. He pushes a guy, looks twice his size back, gets off, and then almost gets home. And his dip and under, look at how he hits his back. Dude, this guy is a disruptor. That's a game-changing player on the defensive side of the ball. Dylan Stewart, look out for him as the season progresses. I believe South Carolina's got Kentucky this week, so we'll see how he handles a slight step up in competition. But look out for this kid to be a high draft pick in a couple of years. Next deal. What's that say? Who's that coming down the track? I'm gonna fuck the words up. I forget the whole chant. It's the one that Pat McAfee did. He's like, ain't nothing finer in the land than a drunk, obnoxious Georgia fan. And then they go, you know what I'm saying? Dude, that's funny, bro. Run that back. And they, you know, they saw that guy walking in the porta potty. They were like, all right, let's do this. Georgia fans are funny, dude. They're rambunctious as hell, and I like them a lot. They beat the hell out of Clemson. Don't even have any clips from that game because they beat the hell out of them. Clemson looked lost on offense, and they looked like I do occasionally on NCAA 25 on defense. You know, they just, you play against a superpower like Georgia, you just can't stop them. You know what I mean? So, not much to show. I forget who commented on it. It was a former NFL player that has a lot of clout. Pointed out that Clemson had like 9 or 10 white guys on their starting offense, and that you can't make plays with that many white guys on an offense. And it's a damn good point, especially based on how Clemson performed. They need more black guys out there making plays. Clemson does, because when you go up against a superpower like Georgia, it's not the Chick-fil-A kickoff game anymore. It's the Aflac kickoff game. A little naming rights change, but Georgia just beat the hell out of Clemson. Beat the hell out of them. And it looks like Georgia's primed for another hell of a season. Okay, back to pro football. This is, as we shoot today, this is recent, okay? The Bengals came out earlier in the week. Zach Taylor said that he has no qualms with the fact that Jamar is going to play. Tuesday, he said, well, you know, I should put my foot in my mouth. Wednesday, he said, we're not sure. And then a couple days later, after a lot of uncertainty, Jamar Chase is suited up and practicing with the Bengals. And that's a hell of a sight. Hear folks honking their whip, honking their truck, fired up to see the boy in practice with the Bengals. He's probably accepted that Mike Brown is not going to pay him until the end of the season. Do I think it should be that way? No. I think Mike Brown should penny up and pay one of the best receivers that's ever been a Bengal before the season, show him a gesture of goodwill. But it looks like that's not going to happen. It looks like Jamar knows that that's not going to happen. The Bengals need him to be successful. They need Jamar Chase to be successful. Not that we don't have a well-rounded team, not that we don't have a well-rounded receiver room, but he is an X-factor, game-changing playmaker for the Bengals. Generational receiver. In one of the best receiver classes you'll see in a long time. Jamar Chase suited up with the Bengals, ready to go, week one. Let's go. Let's go. That has me fired up. Okay. So we're going to recap some college games here. First one on the slate, Florida State most recently was a 16.5 point favorite against Boston College. And they went out there and they laid an egg. They laid such a bad egg that in the first half, the Florida State head coach Mike Norvell kept the halftime speech out on the field. They didn't even take it to the locker room. Here's a clip.
Team at the 50-yard line. Almost given that halftime speech before they even leave the field.
He's telling them, you're in for a fight right now. Whatever you thought about Boston College, you can just wipe it away. Right now is our moment of truth. And I love that phrase when he told us that you have those moments where you're going to find out a little bit about yourself as a coach.
Yeah, so I was sitting on Monday afternoon with one of my buddies who works for MGM Sportsbook. And he showed me that line. And he was like, it's kind of big. Florida State has come in each of the last couple seasons with high expectations. This year not an exception, coming in ranked number 10 in the land and losing to Georgia Tech in Ireland. And then they come out. So Boston College has handed out an ass whipping. They handed out an ass whipping. Had it down on the 10 at the end of the game, just chose to kneel it down. Here's a clip from the game.
It's like panic in this situation, trying to create some momentum. Escalanos to the goal line, and BC converts. Robichaud with the touchdown. Again, the play calling.
FSU fans chanting for their backup quarterback. And dude, some people ran off with the bag betting on this game. Look at this. Somebody was so confident that Boston College was not only going to cover, but they were going to win the game. They took straight up money line with a very exact amount, 59, 52, and 80 cents to pay out $41,669. And Bill O'Brien has got the boys buzzing. When an NFL coach, a season one at that.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
Comes down to the college ranks, especially at a school like Boston College in the lower echelon, I'd say, of the ACC. He's going to make these guys better than they were before. He's going to make the program better than they were before. And somebody ran off with the bag. Mike Norvell, Florida State head coach, is left scratching his head. Here's his post-game press conference.
You know, I apologize to our fans. Apologize to you know, everybody associated with the program. I mean, that was extremely disappointing that we're not better.
And I'm telling you right now, man, Mike Norvell doesn't get those boys rallied together, he might be out of a job in a couple weeks. You know what I'm saying? I would hate to be a Florida State player coming back into the building to start this coming week, because everybody's going to be under a lot of stress. Because if Norvell gets fired, that means that a lot of the coaches underneath him might lose their job at the end of the season. And it's not looking good. It's late early for Florida State in the season in terms of the expectations they had. Their quarterback was overthrowing everybody. There were memes about it. You know, I mean, didn't play well. Didn't play well at all. And they couldn't run the ball. They couldn't throw the ball. It looked like they couldn't stop Boston College on defense. So Florida State's got their work cut out for them. It's early in the season for everybody else, but it's late for Florida State. On to the next deal. LSU played a beautiful Sunday night game against the University of Southern California Trojans at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. And LSU ended up losing the game. Garrett Nussmeier played overall pretty well, LSU's quarterback. But USC just down the stretch. They made it happen. I remember LSU was backed up on defense around their own 35, USC driving, and they get a stop. LSU was up 4. They get a beautiful defensive stop, 40. That linebacker for LSU came in, made a bunch of plays on that series, batted a ball down on fourth down because they were in four down territory. LSU had the ball with a 4-point lead in the middle of the fourth quarter, and they go 3 and out. And then the rest of the game transpires. LSU had a chance late, didn't capitalize. And Brian Kelly made some comments, LSU head coach, that didn't really sit well with me. He said that USC's quarterback, Miller Moss, outplayed our quarterback. He outplayed our quarterback. Okay, so that to me is not something you go to the media and say. That is something you go to your quarterback behind closed doors and say. But he went further. What we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over, and I'm so angry about it. So he is commenting on the energy on the sideline as the game's transpiring, as if he's not the head coach that's setting the tone for all of that. He's expecting his guys to just keep that going. And I get it. You're one human being. You can't control everything. But that's his job. That's Brian Kelly's job, to set the tone and to make sure that the vibration on the sideline stays high, even when the team's losing. Here's a post-game presser from Brian Kelly after the loss.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things, about not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put them away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over. And I'm so angry about it that I got to do something about it. I'm not doing a good enough job as a coach. And
there you go.
I got to coach him better, because it's unacceptable for us not to have found a way to win this football game. It's ridiculous.
There's some accountability. I didn't watch that clip all the way through. That was a live watching on the show. Brian Kelly took some accountability. That's good. He's got to get his boys going. You know, and LSU, they lost the first game last year to Florida State. They lost the first game this year to Florida State. You're seeing a lot of history repeating itself early here in the college football season. And LSU being a victim to that. Dylan Raiola, true freshman quarterback with Nebraska, son of former NFL offensive lineman Dominique Raiola, got some comments on the internet because he looks a lot like Patrick Mahomes with his outfit. He looks a lot like Patrick Mahomes in the way he plays, the style, I mean. And he showed out against UTEP, 19 for 28 with 238 yards and two touchdowns. Here's a look at one of the big plays he made. That was beautiful.
Welcome to Lincoln, Isaiah Nair.
Look at how he, I'm going to run it back just real quick. Look how he flips it out. That's very Mahomes-esque, dude. Very Mahomes-esque. He's got the same number, same hairdo, wears the same Vipers, same outfits. And Patrick Mahomes shouted him out. Kid's playing ball. He looks comfortable throwing it deep. He looks comfortable in there as a true freshman. And I think you're going to see more and more true freshmen really contributing to their programs this college football season. They're comfortable. They look comfortable. You got, you know, that defensive end, Dylan Stewart, he looks comfortable. And even at the quarterback position, a true freshman steps in for Nebraska with Dylan Raiola and is making plays, comfortable throwing the deep ball, comfortable back there. And, again, we're seeing early season, I don't want to say lower tier opponents, but, you know, UTEP compared to Nebraska, right, there's going to be a bit of talent discrepancy with those programs. But at the end of the day, man, these true freshmen look comfortable. They look really comfortable. And so the next game I wanted to recap on the show here was the University of Miami went down to the swamp and beat the hell out of the Gators behind a really masterful performance from Cam Ward, who came over from Washington State to the U. Here's a play he made in the air. Look at this. Flushes.
Ward able to spin free of Searcy. And then goes to the end zone. And in the back of the end zone, it is Jacoby George. My, oh, my, Cam Ward's having himself a day.
I didn't know you could mock the other team's celebration like that. I thought that was a penalty. They came out, scored that touchdown, and that was the backbreaker, right? It was already a skunk, 31-10. He flushes out of the pocket, throws a dart to the back of the end zone, and then Jacoby George, I think is the receiver's name, taunting the Florida audience.
I thought that was a penalty. I really did. Cam Ward's a guy that you got to run contain against in NCAA. You know what I'm saying? NCAA 25, double tap that RB button. You know what I'm saying? That right bumper. Make sure he don't flush out. Here's another clip, and he's kind of going viral for the way he's running the football in a couple of these reps here. Look at this. Chilling. Chilling. Somebody said 50-year-old men are furious that Cam Ward's jogging around the field. You know what? This guy, he was 26 for 35, 74% completion, 385 yards, three touchdowns and a pick, three carries for 33 yards. A lot of times these guys, when it looks effortless, it's because they're so well prepared that it looks easy. And a lot of people say, oh, Cam Ward looks like he doesn't even care about football. Cam Ward looks like he's just jogging around. He's comfortable because he's so well prepared. You know what I'm saying? So to me, that's a compliment, Cam Ward running around the field. So Miami, of all the teams in the ACC after week one, looks to be one of the better teams in the ACC. Granted, I don't know how good Florida is. They did not look good in this game against Miami, but look out for the U here down the stretch in the ACC. Every single conference winner, every single power conference winner gets a bid to the college football playoff. So it's going to be interesting to see how the season plays out. But I mean, they played crazy against Florida. Cam Ward really went off against Florida. Here's what he had to say after the game.
There were 90,000 people, full pros, at the beginning of this game, loud as hell. No. I don't know if this was the loudest environment you played.
It wasn't. I played at USC. Okay. USC wasn't packed, it was louder than this. I played at Oregon, it was louder than this. The Pac-12 gets misspoken for. The Pac-12, that's where I believe real football is played. Meech Powell, even come from Washington was one of the last environments I played. I'll say advice to the fans, if you're gonna be loud, you have to be loud when we're huddling. You can't just be loud once you break the huddle, but that time it's no point. You know, we hear the play, we communicate already. But you know, it was a good atmosphere to play in, and you know, I'm just excited that, you know, we're able to, you know, get a victory.
Damn, dude. I mean, to an SEC supremacist like your boy, them's was fighting words. Them's was fighting words. The Pac-12 has better stadium atmosphere than the SEC. I don't know, man. He knows better than me. He's played a couple of places. He knows better than me. I mean, to say that USC is louder than Florida, that's a hot take, brother. That's a freaking hot take. I remember when my alma mater, we played Georgia when I was a junior. Georgia had 92,000 strong to play us, an SEC opponent. Granted, it cleared out pretty fast after they started whooping us. But all I've ever known is the SEC. I can't speak on Pac-12 atmospheres. But according to Cam Ward, he says USC, Washington, and Oregon were louder than the swamp. That's crazy to me. And after the game, this was arguably the most viral clip from Miami versus Florida. After the game, Miami players approached Florida recruits and said, come to the U. Here's a clip. Says, shut up. That might be those Miami players going down there to the Florida recruits and saying, come to the U after that ass whipping. Might be the best recruiting pitch I've ever seen in college football, right? When I was selling tickets in the NFL and the NHL, my managers used to always say, the best time to sell, it's during the game because everybody's emotional, everybody's hyped up or down, and I think those Miami guys capitalized on a low moment for the Florida Gators. And on the other side, a high moment for the U, approaching some of those recruits and saying, come to the U. I guarantee you, at least one of those kids ends up committing to Miami after they were on a visit to Florida. That would be very, very funny. Okay. NFL games coming up this week. We got NFL football again, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to get into some lines for the week. Like I said, hopefully this episode drops on Thursday. If not, you can go ahead and skip through my picks here for Baltimore Ravens at Kansas City Chiefs. We got Baltimore as 3-point underdogs going into Arrowhead. Normally, the way Vegas does it is they add 3 points to the visiting team. The visiting team gets docked or added, however you look at it, 3 points on the spread. So it looks pretty even if you're looking at on the field and you take that Vegas 3 points. So Baltimore plus +3, Kansas City minus -3. Got money line at 154, 130. We're going to track these picks. We're going to see how good I am with these picks every week. We're going to track the record through the season, and I'm so glad, brother. We're running short on time. I think I got about 5 or 6 minutes left to get through all of these picks this week. We'll get a new SD card next week, so we won't be crunched for time. But I'm going to put myself on the spot. I really haven't even looked at these games in depth at all other than this one. But let's go Baltimore plus +3 for this game. I'm going to go Baltimore plus +3 for this game. So that's my first pick. We'll do one pick per game. No prop bets. We might get into prop bets later in the season, but like I said, we're trying to hum through these. So Baltimore plus +3 for the first NFL game of the season. Hollywood Brown's out for the Chiefs, and we'll see how Xavier Worthy plays for the Chiefs. We'll see if he gets in the mix a lot. We'll see how that Baltimore Ravens running game really looks with Derrick Henry back there. Is he primed for another big season? We'll find out. All right, here's the next slate of games. We got Packers at Eagles in Brazil. That's going to be an interesting one. We touched on that one. I like Packers money line in that game. I think Jordan Love is going to come in and really eat, and Philadelphia, although they got a talented roster, they might struggle against the Packers. They might struggle against the Packers. There's a lot of buzz behind Jordan Love. We'll see. He's my fantasy quarterback. We'll see if Jordan Love is able to start the season strong. I got Packers money line. Book it. Okay. And I should say, this is not financial advice. Do your own research. Make your own decisions. And I do not directly condone sports gambling. This is purely hypothetical for fun. Fun segment we do on the show every week. But I got Packers money line against the Eagles. Next game, Titans at Bears. Caleb Williams coming out hot. Vegas has got him at 4.5-point favorites. A minus -215 money line. And I'm going to go with the Titans money line in this game. This is good value. You're probably not going to get better value on NFL lines than you would week one. But you got to do your research, and you got to make the right picks, because there's the other end of that spectrum too. Can't buy into the hype too much. And although I think the Bears are going to have a decent season, I think the Titans are being grossly underrated in this matchup. Titans money line, give it to me against the Bears. Okay. Steelers at Falcons. This is an interesting one. I've talked about this on the show earlier. Steelers quarterback room has a couple of weapons. Russell Wilson is the QB1, is what they're saying in Pittsburgh. And the Steelers are 3.5-point underdogs at Atlanta, and I just don't understand why. Give me Steelers money line for that value at 156. Next deal. Jaguars at Dolphins. Dolphins come out as 3.5-point favorites against the Jaguars. Over-under totals 48.5. Okay. I want Dolphins -3.5 on this. Give me the spread. I was tempted to go with the over-under, but, you know, that's – life's too short to take the under. Yeah, I'm not sure about here. All right, Patriots at Bengals. Okay, that spread was modified a point by from the last time I saw it. 8.5 points in favor of the Bengals. Over-unders at 40.5. Damn. That's tough. Give me the over. Over 40.5 points. I don't like the spread. I don't like the money line. So give me over 40.5 points for Patriots, Bengals. Texans at Colts to start it off in Indy. Indy's 2.5 point underdogs. The over-under's 48.5. That's another tough one. And I hate to go against my former employer here. I hate to do it. I think it'll be a close game. We are running short on time. I got about 2 minutes. 48.5, 2.5 point spread. Give me Indy to cover. Give me Indy to cover 2.5. All right, Vikings at Giants, crappy game. All right, give me Vikings -1.5. That's easy. The Giants don't think they're going to have a good season. In fact, I think they're going to be in the lower echelon of the NFL. Panthers at Saints, okay? 3.5 point favorites to the Saints, 41.5 points on the over-under. Give me the Saints. Give me the Saints at 3.5 points there. Cardinals at Bills, 6.5 point game, 6.5 point spread, 48.5 on the over-under. Give me the over, 48.5 for the Cardinals-Bills. Holy crap. We are running close. Raiders at Chargers. Let's take over 48.5 in that game. Broncos-Seahawks. Let's take Denver to cover. Cowboys at Browns. Let's take the Cowboys to cover that. That's actually crazy that they're not favored. Commanders at Bucks.
Okay, 3.5 points. Give me the under, 43.5. Rams at Lions. Give me that 3.5. No. Give me the over, 51.5 points. Over 51.5 points. Okay, and we ran out of time. Damn it. We ran out of time. Okay, hopefully the let's rely on the phone audio here, okay? Jets at San Francisco 49ers, Monday Night Football. Give me the Jets to cover those 4.5 points, and I will spare y'all the bad audio since my SD card is no longer, and we'll go into it. It's football season. We're all in, baby. We're all in here. We're fired up. It's in season, in the jar, episode 34. Appreciate y'all coming out. Appreciate y'all watching this long. And make sure you like, comment, and most importantly, subscribe. When
you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.